And now, it's time for the Yacht Club Show with Killer, Rev D, Dr. Jim, and Coach.
Welcome again to a special edition of the Yacht Club Show, Surviving the 2020 Pandemic, Part 4. On the line, Rev D and Dr. Jim. How you guys doing?
Doing pretty well.
I was going to say, you're doing well. I'm cranky.
We switched sides. Yeah, I've been pretty frustrated by all the, I don't want to say it's bogus information, but it's all this, you know, contradicting information over the last couple of weeks, and I find it really frustrating. Before we get into that, I've been looking for a little solace in the great minds of our Western civilization here, and I came upon a quote here from Charles Dickens. It sounds like he wrote this like 3 weeks ago. So here's what old Chuck had to say. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. All of that has been going on, at least for me, for the last month.
My gosh, well, a tale of two cities,
you're not
right?
And today was the winter of despair. It was snowing again.
No, I was just going to say, didn't we used to play softball this time of year?
Yeah.
Jeez, and then you can handle, all right, a little snow in the morning, you know, you get it, warms up, but man, it snowed all day.
Yeah, and there was a couple of times I looked out the window and it was a whiteout.
Yeah, man, oh man.
That's a great quote, though, from Dickens. I'm glad you dug that out, Jim. You're right, it could have been written today.
Yeah, it was. I got to read you one more thing. I don't want to take up all the time. I got one more thing. I got to read from him. He said something. Okay, this again. It sounds like he just went back to London yesterday. Here he comes. The American elite is almost beyond redemption. Moral relativism has set in so deeply that the gilded classes have become incapable of discerning right from wrong. Everything can be explained away, especially by journalists. Life is one great moral mush, sophistry washed down with Chardonnay. The ordinary citizens, thank goodness, still adhere to absolutes. It is they who have saved the Republic from creeping degradation while their betters were derelict.
Hear, hear.
That sends shivers down my spine. That was Dickens?
That was Dickens.
Was that an essay or from one of his novels?
I don't remember. I just have a list of quotes. I don't know where it came from.
I know the first one was Tale of Two Cities. I do know that.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yep. I think this may have been just an editorial someplace.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
The man was a prophet.
Yeah, he was.
Unfortunately, he was right.
Time to dig out the Dickens. The guy was a prophet. Well, I guess he wasn't really a prophet. He was describing the world around him. I guess what it really says is nothing's changed. Maybe we're not evolving.
I'll give you another one. I just happened to know this one off the top of my head. It was there's a philosopher, George Santana, said, "Those who fail to know history are doomed to repeat it."
There you go.
Yeah.
That's it exactly.
This is what we're doing.
Jim, these are fantastic quotes. Nice job.
All right.
That's a wrap, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you top that, right?
Well, we did want to kick off some discussion about some of the stuff that's been frustrating us, and specifically like these statistics thing I read, they have this test for the virus, and it turns out those who take the test, it has a 30% false negative result, which means like, it's closer to 50-50 than perfect. Let's put it that way. How do you have any confidence when you start dealing with something like that?
Wow.
Well, you can't. You can't.
So it's a false negative, and they're walking around with.
They're asymptomatic. That's no wonder this is going to be so hard to get under control.
I keep thinking of our life and what we used to do, which is something we would do routinely. I mean, you see, sports are dead. I mean, sports are going to be, if they exist at all, they're going to be broadcast from an arena with nobody in it.
Yeah, for this year, I agree. I don't see how they have any crowds at anything. Concerts?
Yep, concerts are over. Baseball is done. Football may be done.
I was going to ask you guys, we should take some bets here. When do you think, in my example, when do you think I'll get back to work? What would you be your prediction? Working for one of the automotive companies.
You're still working from home now?
Yeah.
Back to work. I would say you're probably back in the office by June.
By June 1st?
Guess.
Okay.
Yep. That would be my guess. It could be on a very limited basis. You may be there every other day.
Yeah.
I don't know that you'll be there 5 days a week.
Yep. Okay. Jim?
Let me ask you something, Mike. How do you find working at home? Are you productive?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, because to be honest with you, a fair amount of our meetings are WebEx, the equivalent of Zoom or whatever people are using now from their home. The majority of them are video conferences, so it's not that much different for me.
So it might be that this becomes a more permanent model for a lot of people. And like Dave says, you'll do this to work from home 2 or 3 days a week, and then maybe you have to go into the office 1 or 2.
I wouldn't be surprised if companies said if you're over this age or you have, you know, these health concerns, you know, you have our blessing to work from home. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Yeah, I think I could see that. And a good thing that is happening now, a positive I see, that at least they're starting to talk about reopening things. And I know it's not going to be what we had. There's going to be a lot of constraints to it. But I really think by May 1st, you're going to see
June 1st or May 1st?
Changing. May 1st. I think you'll start to see some of the shackles come off because people can't handle this socially. I don't know if socially is the right word,
is.
But psychologically.
People need to interact with other people. Yeah.
Yeah. They've got to get out. And, you know, I think if you keep them cooped up too long, you run the risk of losing them. And they just kind of go off on their own doing things. And so I think it's good that they're starting to talk about that. And I think those in charge do realize that there's got to be an end game to this. You just can't go on arbitrarily, another 2 weeks, another month.
I know.
People aren't going to, they're not going to tolerate it.
No. No, I mean, look at the protests in Lansing today. Jeez.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a little ridiculous. I mean, as a governor, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
She can't win.
Yeah.
No.
But Dave, so you said you're the curmudgeon this week. What's affecting you this week?
I just, you know, up until Sunday, everything was okay. I can live with this. I've got things to do around the house, and I can putz, and it was warm. I think just getting cold again, and I'm running out of things to do around the house.
Yeah.
You know, the easy things. And I was going to do some painting. That's out now. Just running out of things to do, and there's nowhere you can go. You can't go hit golf balls. You can't find something to pass the time. Is what it is. It's just that this week has been tougher for me.
Yeah, I get it, man. I'm sure a lot of people feel the same way. Jim, are you still able to occupy your time, or? How you doing?
Well, yeah, I'm kind of a hermit anyway, so it isn't. I read a lot of stuff, and then I like to do stuff around the house, so I'm able to do some of that. So that's okay with me. I think what I miss is just being able to go out once in a while and have a beer or a dinner out or something.
That's really what I miss.
Right. Right.
Or go walk in the park or something and play golf. Can't play golf. I don't understand. I hope that they can open the golf courses anyway. Just, you know, they don't have to open the bars, but just open the courses.
Right.
You know,
I think she's got to look at come May 1st, just to give people a little bit more more space in doing things. Because when you think you can't go to Jeremy's right now.
Well,
you know, and that's
okay. The tough part.
I kind of get it, but I think some of these things are draconian in nature. And people aren't going to put up with that for long.
I think one of the unfortunate things for us, though, living in Michigan, is that we're one of the worst states. So we're probably going to be toward the tail end of when those stay-in-place programs begin to be tapered off.
Okay, that's true. But you've got to look at the areas of the state.
That's a good point, yeah.
Where it's not so bad, let those people do some things. It's just not a blanket thing. You're right. Yeah, Wayne and Oakland are bad. And I read something that suggested look at what can be done safely. You use that as a criteria. But what you can do.
Yeah, I mean, there are some common sense things that everybody can adhere to, and I think we'd all be, you know, really knock down any probability of contracting the virus. You know, just maintaining a distance between yourself and people you socialize with, and these poor restaurants. Oh man, I don't know how they're ever going to make it. And how about the wait staff in these places? Man, they must be getting crushed.
Right.
Oh, yeah. The restaurants can open. You know, they'll open with, 50% capacity? It'll be, I don't know, half the tables. That gives them a cash flow, but that really doesn't bring them back to where they were at before all this hit.
Yeah.
Wait staff, if you got 50% less tables, you've got 50% less wait staff, too.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, so that's...
Yeah. But I guess the only thing, you know, it's better than, you know, 100% nobody. But actually, also, things like that are going to be more or less permanent until the vaccine comes available.
Yeah. You know, to your point, Jim, let's say the vaccine is 18 months, 2 years. These things go on for that long. People, I think what they're going to be asking... is because you and I, Jim, are in the over 60 group.
Hey, wait a minute, I am too.
Well, that's right, Killer. Yeah, you're going to be you'll be right there doing nothing with us.
I'm going to be I'm in your demographic, man. Yeah,
that's right. That's right. I forgot about that. But they're going to be telling you to do nothing,
right?
Because you're the vulnerable. I think the younger generations will be able to move around a little bit more freely, but they're going to really discourage it for us until there is a vaccine. And like you said, that's let's say at best 18 months, and you could see it being 2 years very easily. And this is what life is.
Yeah.
At this juncture.
The new normal.
Well, it is. Wearing a mask everywhere. You know, and,
well, if you're over 60, you'll probably wear a mask everywhere. Yep.
I'm sure. And you get used to it and you'll put up with it just so you can get out again.
Yep.
But you'll still be curtailed no matter what.
The only thing that might give us a reprieve is going to be if there's some sort of a therapeutic for you if you catch it. So some sort of an antiviral that you can take if you do catch it.
Right.
So if there is a few treatments like that, then I think it'll give us more latitude as to who can go out. And so even if you're in our age group, as long as you're reasonably healthy, so it's not going to be as threatening for you as it might be otherwise.
Right.
And if you do contract it, you've got some treatment for it, and that would hopefully get you past.
And aren't they doing something, testing something as a prophylactic right now?
Well, that's the thing that Trump has been promoting, but it's hit or miss, I think, at this point.
I think it's in Detroit that they're doing that as a test, correct?
Yes. Yeah, Henry Ford Hospital is supposed to be one of the first centers.
That was it.
Yeah,
that
so Detroit's been a real primary focus for a lot of reasons, I guess.
They're testing it in a couple of places, particularly where they've got a high incidence and they don't have anything else to give these people, and some of them are pretty far out there. You know, if you've got hypertension or diabetes, which are two problems in, you know, the inner city,
right?
They're going to be desperate for some kind of treatment, and that seems to have some promise anyway, or works in some situation.
Yep.
But on the plus side, I am getting, didn't call it expert, but I'm getting to learn how to use Zoom.
Okay.
To converse with friends, so that's
okay.
Been,
I wonder if you can record a Zoom session, you know, the video and stuff.
You can. I'll tell you guys a story. Killer, I told you, Jim, I haven't talked to you, but on Sunday I did a Easter service for the family. And we all got on Zoom. And it was like, you remember that show, the celebrities, where I think it was a tic-tac-toe. Maybe it was tic-tac-toe.
Yeah, Hollywood Squares.
Hollywood Squares. That
was
it.
Paul Lynde and Charlie Weaver.
Yeah.
And
that was it.
Yeah.
So we're all on for Easter, and you put it on the gallery view, and it looked like Hollywood Square.
Yeah.
With everybody on there. It was interesting.
Or the opening to the Brady Bunch. Remember that one?
Yeah, that's what somebody said. Somebody started singing the Brady Bunch song when we were all on it. We had like, I don't know, there were 15 different cameras or whatever on there. But it was pretty cool to do it that way.
If you could record the video, which I'm sure you
can.
Well,
that's what I was going to say.
That might be one of our future shows.
We did a song. We did a hymn in the beginning. And Billy recorded it. And he sent everybody a copy later. And the funny thing with Zoom, there's kind of a delay in it, so you really don't hear everybody right on. But this recording had everybody singing. It was god-awful to hear people singing in this. Our family cannot carry a tune in a bucket. We are awful. But it was pretty cool to get everybody together.
That's cool.
That's what Zoom, you know, if you get a chance, and I'm sure Skype is the same same thing. But that's one good thing, is connecting with people that way. I would say that's fun.
Yeah, the rest of the family's been doing that. Carol's been doing that with her family. The girls have been doing it with their friends. I haven't done a Zoom session yet, but like I said, for work we use Cisco's WebEx product, and thank God for technology. We've said that before. That's the only thing that's really getting us through this.
Dickens had something to say along these lines.
Let's hear it.
Believe it or not,
that Dickens, he had it all covered.
He did.
He was a Dickens.
He was.
Okay, here's what he had to say apropos to this discussion. Electronic communication will never be a substitute for the face of someone who, with their soul, encourages another person to be brave and true.
Wait a minute. Dickens?
Dickens
was talking about electronic communication. Wow. I thought he was a little bit before that time. Yeah.
Hey, I'm just telling you what I don't know. Maybe this is a Russian website and it's filled with fake news. I don't know.
No, the quotes are fantastic.
Maybe it was Harvey Dickens. I was give you a beard update here. I think by last week I figured by this time it would be gone. But Jim, I have Arlene to thank for this. We saw her walking, and she said, "Geez, Your beard looks good."
She said you look sexy, yeah?
Yeah. So, well, I shouldn't say sexy. She just said it looked good. Now, I understand she was probably just being nice. I get that. But I did feel good for the day, so I still got it.
Still have the beard. Arlene keeps that beard alive. Okay.
Yeah, the beard is alive, and I've been too lazy to trim it or anything, so it's getting a little unwieldy right now. So I'm going to have to either decide to let it go like the Duck Dynasty guys, or go ahead and trim it. I got
to
figure out, or just cut it off.
I have to run into
Arlene once a week.
So yeah, there you go.
It looks all right. Say, okay, all right, I'll keep it another week.
All right. I'll have to make sure that she runs into you. She gives you some encouraging words.
Yeah. That's a good idea. And, you know, you think about it, we were talking about this today. You and I aren't going back to the gym anytime soon.
No.
You know, I don't know how they open up, what their plans are. I'm sure they're working on it, and I'm sure they'll open. But, you know, you think about how the close quarters that you're in there.
Or using a machine after someone sweated all over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Everything, weights, machines. You're going to go into what? You're going to take a class where everybody's sweating in the class? I just think that's another business that's going to it's going to have to change.
This is the most disruptive thing that's happened in hundreds of years.
Yeah, no, seriously, you're not far off, Mike. I mean, this has the potential to just reorganize, reorient what passes for daily life in the West.
You know what? Some of it will be good. There'll be some. Some of these changes will definitely be good that will come out of this. There'll be some positive.
Sure, people will be more more committed to controlling their diabetes.
Yep.
Everybody will be washing their hands more often.
Yep.
I bet you like the normal flu infections are going to go down. Colds will go down.
Right.
Yeah. We will take on a lot more healthy behaviors.
Yeah. Like Dr. Fauci advocates, I think the handshake is the thing of the past.
Yes, it is.
And a hug. No more man hugs.
No more hugs.
No. Uh-uh. As friendly as you get is a elbow bump, I think.
Yeah.
An elbow bump a fist pump.
Yep.
Fist punch.
Just air handshake. That'll be as close as we get. You're right.
What was the old thing they used to do? You put out your hand, and when the guy goes to shake it, you pull it back and put it behind your ear.
That'll be the new traditional handshake.
That'll be the new handshake.
That's right. Oh, gosh.
Oh. Any more quotes, Jim?
I do have one for us to. I was going to use it for my sign off.
That sounds good. Dave, do you have anything before Jim signs off?
Again, as we close here, we'll ask the Lord to watch over his world, get us through this pandemic as quickly as possible. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I tell you what, I think a little bit about God being up there having a sense of humor, and he's saying, these people are so stupid, I got to smack them on the side of the head. And he sends us this thing, and it's like almost the perfect disruption. Sickly elderly people die, but generally it's not like the bubonic plague where people are dropping right and left in the street. But it's sort of like just straighten up.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be.
So anyway, I just a thought.
Yeah.
Probably.
Okay.
But I Jim, I think you're right.
So anyway, my closing remarks, I guess, will be some final words from Charles Dickens. Maybe some people will like him. Charles said, "I've been bent and broken, but I hope into a better shape."
I like it.
Good
sign off, guys.
Yep.
That's nice.
Until next week.
Good talking with you. It's nice to get the band back together.
Find a better podcast, listen to it.